理课堂听 class.com
Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. Do you like extreme sports? How about running long distances like 1,600 kilometers in a race? Hi, everyone, and welcome to Advanced Studio Classroom. My name is Troy Peterson, and today we're talking about a sports article. And what's interesting about this particular article is that it involves one of our own right here at Studio Classroom. Her name is Rachel Swatsky, and she actually wrote the article that you see in front of you. If you don't have it with you, if you have your Advanced magazine, I should say, please turn to page 8. And there you'll see at the top of the article, you'll see a picture of Rachel Swatsky. She works with us here at Studio Classroom, and tomorrow, Ethan, who is with us today, will interview Rachel about her extreme sports interest. And if you know Rachel at all, you know that she loves running, and she's also a teacher. So it's one way to keep yourself in shape. We get outside, we run, we try to burn extra calories. It's part of our plan to lose weight. But then there are those runners, for some reason, they're addicted to the extreme sport of long-distance races, something we call an ultra-marathon. Well, with me here in the studio today to talk about the sports article are two fanatics. No, they're not. But they're two people who enjoy, at least, hosting Advanced Program. The first is Ethan. Hi, Ethan.
Hi, Troy. Hi, everyone. I'm glad to be here today and talking about running, something I don't particularly enjoy, but I think it's something that we can all at least take an interest in.
Okay, so you are not an extreme sports athlete.
Not in running. I do enjoy watching other sports, and I do play volleyball myself, but I don't enjoy running particularly.
Well, I do know that you do enjoy sports because you like talking about sports. Oftentimes when we're off the air, you might talk about a certain basketball team, or perhaps you also have an interest in hockey and other kinds of sports as well. So maybe you like to watch other extreme athletes participating in a sporting activity, but you yourself don't necessarily enjoy participating in that sport.
Well, and I find watching running can be very interesting. I enjoy watching people push the limits of whatever they're doing. I think that's one of the exciting things about sports is you get to see how far you can push your body and your mind and challenge yourself. And so I enjoy watching people do it, but for me, I just find running is too challenging.
Bill is also with us in the studio here today to talk about the article. And would you consider yourself an extreme sports athlete?
No, I would not, Troy. But I do find this article interesting, and actually I learned some things reading this article. I had played many sports in the past. I enjoy watching sports, but I've never done, you know, ultra marathons or Ironman competitions or anything like that. But I did learn a lot by reading this article by Rachel.
Well, I do enjoy watching triathlons often when I have free time. And I turn the television on, the first thing I do is I go to the sports channel because I'm really interested in the activity, in the sporting activity of other people. I especially like to watch the triathlons where you begin by swimming, then they move to biking, and lastly they will run across the finish line. So if you are interested in sports, maybe you're not, but maybe it's time to learn a little bit about people who are interested in extreme sports. Now, that's kind of the general word we use today, isn't it, is the word extreme.
Well, extreme we might use to describe something that's longer or bigger than something that we normally might associate with it. For instance, in this article, what we'll see, typically a marathon, which is run in the Olympic Games, is 26 miles or around 42 kilometers. But we call this an extreme race, and these extreme marathons, ultra marathons, are much, much longer than the marathon race that's run in the Olympics.
So anything that is ultra, of course, is far beyond ordinary.
Yes, ultra is a common prefix we will use to explain something. I like the fact that this is an extreme sport, which means it is pushing the human capacity to be able to do it. I think of, we talk about extreme sports. Sometimes we will consider the motorbiking that they do, the really high jumps or tricks. Mm-hmm. And that is really pushing how far can I really go with this. And so this is running where they're pushing their limits.
Okay. So that's true. In extreme sports, you're pushing some limit, whether that be a physical limitation, a mental limitation, or in some cases, it might even be a mechanical limitation, attempting to make your motorcycle do things that perhaps it's not really built to do. So we're talking about extreme sports, but in the article today on page 8 in your Advanced magazine, we're talking about extreme races, and not just your ordinary marathon, as you mentioned, Bill, but anything over 42 kilometers, 50 kilometers, 100 kilometers, and even a 10-day race that totals 1,600 kilometers. We would call this an extreme race for intense runners. Well, now let's begin with the first half of today's reading.
Extreme races for intense runners. For some ultramarathon runners, 42 kilometers is only the beginning. Only fanatical runners would pay $250 in entry fees for the chance to run 135 miles in the driest and hottest place on the planet. As if the heat isn't forbidding enough, the demanding race course includes 3 mountain passes, a desert, and an endless valley. The legendary Badwater Ultramarathon starts in Death Valley, California, at 280 feet below sea level, and ends 3 days later on Mount Whitney, at an elevation of 8,360 feet. An ultramarathon is any run that exceeds 42.195 kilometers, the standard distance of a marathon. A variety of ultramarathon races are held around the world each year. Distances usually range from 50 kilometers to an unbelievable 1,600 kilometers. Races can be several hours long or take up to 10 days to complete.
All right, thank you, Marcy, for reading for us the first half of today's lesson here in Advanced. We are on page 8 in your Advanced magazine, the sports article, Extreme Races for, well, Intense Runners. Now, we know people who are intense. When they do a task or they do anything, they're very focused. We use the word intense to describe the amount of energy in that focus that they put into doing a task. And I know some people who are very intense even when they drive their cars. They're very intense when they are working on a project. Other people who are very intense when it comes to competitive kinds of games like playing cards or chess. And then there are those people who are very intense about sports, whether it be football, basketball, soccer, or in this case, running.
Well, and I think it is very easy to be an intense person when it comes to sports. Sports is as very much a mental thing as it is a physical thing. You have to be extremely focused in order to do the extreme demands on your body. For example, in my volleyball, I had to really push my body and be extremely focused so that I could jump up high enough to block or spike the volleyball.
Mm. Now, when we meet that kind of person, especially one who is intense about their sporting activities, we might even use the word fanatical. They're persons who are fanatical about what they do. It's our vocab focus word. Fanatical is an adjective, Bill.
Yes, fanatical. That means showing intense devotion and strong admiration for something. You mentioned intense, and I think that, again, all your mental and physical energy and focus on one task at hand. I think of, for instance, if you might watch tennis, maybe a Roger Federer. He's very intense when he's playing tennis. You can see during a match, he's paying total attention to his opponent, or maybe a golfer like Tiger Woods or Ernie Els. When they're out there on the golf course, they're not thinking about what they're going to have for dinner later that night. They're focusing right on that one single shot at that very moment.
And that's true with some of our listeners who study English. They're also very intense when it comes to learning the language. They don't let anything get in their way. or anything. They don't allow anything to distract them. But what about paying $250 as an entry free or entry fee for a chance to run 135 miles in the driest and the hottest place on the planet? We're talking about none other than Death Valley in California, the state of California in the United States. It's 280 feet below sea level. And there is this race there. It's an ultramarathon race that only, it seems, the fanatical sporting kind of individual, the intense runner, would want to be a part of. What does it mean to be fanatical, we said, to have this intense devotion and strong admiration for something? But it's generally kind of a negative word, isn't it?
Well, I think of the word fanatic, and that is someone who is really zealous in pursuing something, usually to an extreme that is probably a bad.
Okay. Well, there are extremes, certainly, in those who run races like ultramarathons. Think about running 135 miles. That distance alone requires tremendous amounts of energy and mental strain. However, running that in one of the driest and hottest places on Earth, Death Valley in California, would even make the race more difficult. And it says in line 5, as if the heat isn't forbidding enough, if you've ever been to Death Valley, at 6 a.m. in the morning, it's already 90 degrees, and the temperatures rise up well above 120 degrees during the day. Well, if you were only running, say, a 10K race or a 25K race, that would be okay. But 135 miles, and you're even going uphill.
And I want to find the person who's able to convince these people to pay $250 for the privilege of doing this. I see in line 5 there, Troy, that we have forbidding. And in this case, forbidding means challenging. Mm. So as if the heat isn't challenging enough, then the demanding race course includes 3 mountain passes, a desert, and an endless valley. Mm. So it means challenging.
Well, if you've ever seen Death Valley, it's a huge salt flat. And, of course, you've got mountains. In this case, we're talking about Mount Whitney, and they actually begin the race. It's called the Badwater Ultramarathon. They begin this race then running through Death Valley, and it ends by running up Mount Whitney 3 days later. Now, Mount Whitney is higher than 8,360 feet. It's actually over 14,000 feet if you were to climb all the way to the summit. But the runners only ascend 8,360 feet. And so it takes 3 days to finish this race.
Well, yes, I did some research on this on the internet, and I found that you are allowed up to 60 hours to complete the 135 miles. So that is quite a long period of time if you think about it. I believe the fastest it was done, at least last year, was in the vicinity of 28 to 30 hours.
And if you finish this race in under 48 hours, that's in under 2 whole days, they will give you a buckle, a special buckle of some kind. I'm not sure if it's a belt buckle, but I understand that if you have participated in this race and you were able to complete the task in under 48 hours, if you complete the ultramarathon race, they will give you a buckle. So some people say, that's pretty fanatical. Why in the world would you pay that much money just to win a buckle? Well, if you are an extreme sports enthusiast or one who enjoys participating in extreme sports, then I suppose this isn't too intense. All right. Well, it says it's the legendary Badwater Ultramarathon. Let's just back up to the word legendary there in line 8.
Legendary, extremely well known to the point of having stories told about it.
I would say this would be true for anyone. People have died in Death Valley. Animals, of course, have died over the years in Death Valley. I mean, it's a place where there is nothing when you've got salt and sand. And what's the joy of running a race this distance in heat that is over 120 degrees Fahrenheit? You have blisters, sunburn, windburn. Oftentimes, sandstorms will kick up in Death Valley. People who are allergic to certain kinds of allergens, while they're running, they will inhale these allergens into their lungs, and they become asthmatic, and they have to quit the race. There's the sore, aching muscles, swollen feet, swollen fingers, puffy faces. Your eyelids become sunken. Your skin even becomes flaky and begins to peel.
Sounds delightful.
Yeah, these are some of the adjectives to describe the, you know, the pain that these people endure to run this race.
But at the same time, as someone who does enjoy sports myself, I can understand the sense of accomplishment that you did something of this great quality. I'm thinking about myself. If I was to accomplish something like that, I would feel extremely good about having done it, and I would be able to tell my friends, yes, I did that.
And most of those who have run this race will tell you that that's all they wanted to do was to run this race one time. And then, following the race, they will tell you, mission accomplished, I'm never coming back here again, I've got my buckle. And when you tell people I'm a buckle runner, they know that you have accomplished something great in your sporting career. Well, let's continue now the reading with Marcy here on page 8 in your Advanced magazine, beginning with ultramarathons in Asia.
Ultramarathons in Asia. One of the most challenging races in Asia is the 24-hour ultramarathon held annually since 1998 at Suzhou University in Taipei. Each year, race organizer Frank Guo invites 5 or 6 elite international runners to participate in the Suzhou 24-hour race, leaving 16 vacancies for local runners. This year, the Suzhou 24-hour race will begin at 9 a.m. on March 5th. Keep running! The Suzhou Ultramarathon is unique in that its runners are confined to running around a 400-meter track for a full 24 hours. Elite athletes never stop running, not even to eat. They just grab snacks and drinks on the run. Student volunteers are cheerleaders and lap counters for the dedicated runners who complete lap after lap around the track. The winner of the race is the one who completes the most laps within 24 hours. In 2004, Masayuki Otaki from Japan was the victor, running 679 laps, equivalent to 271.75 kilometers.
Thank you, Marcy. Well, this here is your advanced radio program here at Studio Classroom. We're now on page 8, still, looking at ultramarathons in Asia. And it says here that one of the most challenging races in Asia is what?
It is the 24-hour ultramarathon held annually since 1998 at Suzhou University in Taipei.
Okay, so Suzhou or Donggu University. They have this ultramarathon that is held by them annually there. And each year, the race organizer, it says, Frank Guo, invites 5 or 6 elite international runners to participate in this 24-hour race.
Elite means excellent or of the highest quality. So we might say the elite runners are the best in the world at ultramarathons.
So they are invited to participate, and I assume they probably win something. Something that's, in fact, what you will find is that many runners around the world do participate in these big races because they often pay very, very well. Sometimes you can win thousands of dollars if you win a long-distance race. So here he invites 5 or 6 elite international runners to participate in this 24-hour race. But what about other runners? It says local runners are invited too.
Well, there are 16 vacancies or openings, open slots, where these local runners can run in as well.
Okay, the word vacancy here is interesting. If something is vacant, it means that there's room.
Mm-hmm. Okay. There's spaces available. What I find interesting is this combination of 6 elite international runners and 16 vacancies for local runners. If you follow racing, you do see that often it's necessary that you have some of the top level runners in a race. What that does is that help raises the level of everybody participating in the race.
It does. I don't know that this would be the kind of race I would want to run. Actually, when you take a look at this race, it seems to be pretty much a mental race. The course is level. You're not running outside, you know, on blacktop, but you are running on a track. in this particular race, and you're running around and around in the same circle on the same track, lap after lap after lap. So it is a unique race, really, of its kind. I can't even think of another race where you simply run on a track for 24 hours straight and count the number of laps that you can run. But here it says on March 5th, the race begins at 9 a.m. Well, in Taipei on March 5th, at that time of the year, that season of the year, the weather's still fairly cool.
Well, yes, and I think that it will be an interesting thing. I would be interested in actually going down and at least getting a look at what they're doing. I just can't imagine. I've tried running myself the 3K or the 5K runs in high school, and pushing my body even to that extreme was difficult. But to run for 24 hours, now that really shocks me.
We were talking during the break, Troy, and I had mentioned to Ethan that simply staying awake for 24 hours would be a challenge for me, let alone running around a track for 24 hours.
Now, you're right. If anyone out there has ever attempted staying awake for 24 hours, or you had to stay awake that long, then you know how difficult it becomes. In fact, as soon as you sit down, you tend to fall asleep. If you've been awake for over 18 hours, your body becomes tired and the mind becomes very lazy, and your body's telling you that it needs some rest. Now, what I found, I was awake one time for 35 hours, and my hands began to swell, my feet began to swell. And doctors say that you need to get off your feet after, within a 24-hour period, at least put your feet up, or your feet will begin to swell. And apparently, fluids from your body somehow collect in your feet. And imagine these people out there actually pounding their feet while they're running this long-distance race for 24 hours. Is it possible to sleep and run at the same time?
I don't think I could do it. I don't know if there's a technique that they can use to help them replenish rest when they slow down or whatever, but it would be interesting to find out.
Well, it says here on page 9 at the top, it says, keep running. It says the Suzhou or the Suzhou ultramarathon is unique in that its runners are confined to running around a 400-meter track for a full 24 hours.
They get very good at turning left.
They do.
Now, they do have a chance to eat. They can't sleep and run at the same time. I don't think that's possible. But they do eat, but they keep running. So they're running around this track, and they have student volunteers who are helping cheer them on and also pass food and water along to them while they're running around the track. So you actually eat while you're running.
I think you need to in these ultramarathons. I do know that in the Death Valley Marathon, I had read that that is a three-day race, 135 miles, and you're running in extreme conditions, that the body needs 15,000 calories every day in order to participate, in order to recuperate itself during these long-distance runs. This is not in the article, but I read this, that your body requires 15,000 calories a day in running or to run an ultra marathon. So I suppose these athletes as well in the Donghu race run for great distances. In fact, we see here that the winner of the race, it looks like in 2004, was a Japanese woman. Her name was Matsuyuki Otaki, and she actually ran 679 laps.
Well, we see she is the victor, and the victor just means the person who won the race. So in an election, the victor is the person who would win the election. It's just a term for the person who wins.
Okay. So they need to grab snacks and food on the way, Bill, because their bodies need the extra energy.
That's something that they would need to do throughout the race. Maybe parts of a meal or snacks throughout the race. You can't just run for 3 hours, then all of a sudden eat a big meal, because then, of course, your stomach would react and you'd have to withdraw from the race.
Well, maybe some of the local athletes do rest during this ultramarathon race, but it says in line 8 on page 9, or I should say it's line 9, that the elite athletes never stop running, not even to eat. They just grab snacks and drinks, and then we have this phrase here, on the run.
Well, I really like this term. It's got kind of a double meaning in this sense. When we do something on the run, it means we're not going to stop to do something. And so if I'm going to grab food on the run, maybe I'm going to go through a drive-thru at a McDonald's. I'm not going to actually take time to stop to eat. Mm. But in this sense, we're also talking about they're running a race. So it's kind of a fun little play on words.
Okay. Well, someone might ask you, for example, did you eat lunch this afternoon? Well, no, not really. In other words, I didn't actually go to a restaurant, sit down, order food, and eat, but I grabbed some food on the run. That means that between one point and another point, you were involved in doing something, maybe taking mail to the post office from the office. So you take the perhaps the office mail to the post office, and on the way there, you went ahead and you grabbed a bite to eat. So you can say, well, today I didn't actually eat in a restaurant, right? I ate on the run. Okay. And that's the way it is with some people whose lives are very busy. I'll see people walking to work eating their breakfast. I'll see people eating food in their car in the morning or in the evenings. Oftentimes, students who go to the cram schools will also eat on the run. They get out of school, they're on their way to the Bushiban, and they'll grab something to eat, usually at a vendor on the side of the street. So that person is eating on the run. But they've got student volunteers there as cheerleaders, and they're also lap counters.
Yeah, you certainly need somebody to count these laps because Otaki actually ran 679 laps, so you need somebody to keep track. Hmm. That came out to be 271.75 kilometers.
Wow.
That's also close to 164 miles in 24 hours. That's a long distance.
Oh, that is amazing. And to imagine that her body could sustain that. Well, they do say that it's not in the article, but I was reading by an article printed by a medical doctor on the internet, and he said that it really is very difficult, he said, on a person's physical body to sustain, he said, these kinds of distances. And they have what they call the post-runner blues, or the post-marathon blues, that your body actually goes through a period of depression as it is recuperating and rejuvenating itself after a long race like this.
Well, and when I was doing research also on this to help talk about on the radio, I learned that there have been people who have actually run themselves to death, and they have actually depleted their energy and their emotional and mental abilities to handle running, and they've actually killed themselves.
Mm. Well, I do know that it's possible to run long distances. It just depends oftentimes for me. I wouldn't think about running as far as Matsuyuki Otaki did, but even sometimes just going out and exercising in the evening when I have extra time to do that, I find myself getting tired quickly. And the first thing I do is I try to engage my mind in thinking other thoughts. Get my mind off my body, off the physical stress I find my lungs or my legs are under while I'm running. And I try to imagine something outside of where I'm at, either another place, some other thoughts. But when I do that, immediately I find that my body relaxes and I don't feel, quote unquote, that sense of pain.
Well, as we talk about in today and then also tomorrow, a big part of this is the mental part. And that's what you're talking about, Troy.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think it's important, as you said, there's a good place to start is just starting something small that you can do yourself.
Well, tomorrow we're going to take a look at a world-class runner. His name is Yannis Kouros. He's arguably the world's greatest ultramarathon runner, and it's said that he set a new course record for the 24-hour Suzhou race by running 284 kilometers. Well, we'll talk about that more tomorrow, so come back with us right here in Advanced. Until next time, my name is Troy.
Ethan.
And Bill.
Saying goodbye.
Goodbye.